by now.
This is how we fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Responsive reading is from Psalm chapter 146. Praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath.
Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and all their plans die with them.
But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever.
He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly.
The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and widows. But he frustrates the plans of the wicked. Together.
The Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout the generations. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. And may the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. You want to be in relationship with us. You chase after us. You love us so much that you gave your one and only son. He died. He laid down his life so that we could be in relationship with you. He took on a beating worse than any man in history, just so that we could be in relationship with you. It was done all because of his love for us. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The sanctuary, praise him with a timbrel.
at 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 or 5 o'clock, those birds will get up before the sun come up, and they just chirping and tweeting, because they have breath and they're praising the Lord. They have the life of God in them. When he created everything, it said the spirit moved, the ruach of God, the ruach hadosh, that's the Holy Spirit, moved over all creation, giving breath, giving life. So when the scripture says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord, what should you do?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So since you got your wind up, now we can do one of these 15 verse hymns, all right? Amen? There's not a friend like who? Not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Nobody loves us like Jesus. I don't know anybody that would do for me what Jesus has done for me. And still is doing. He's still raising us. He's still healing us. He's still working through us. He's bringing his life into the world through us. So we praise this friend.
Jesus.
not a friend like the lowly Jesus. You may be seated for a few minutes. Jesus knows. That's why he came. So he would know. So he knows what it's like to be born.
Amen.
He knows what it's like to be poor.
Yes,
from the hood.
Yes.
Proof that he was poor was his mom and daddy, when they went to the temple, their sacrifice was one of the lowest sacrifices you could give. They had to get pigeons because they couldn't afford a lamb or a ram. So he knows. He knows what it's like to owe taxes and not have it to pay. He knows what it's like to have people calling crazy. His own family. He knows what it's like to be heralded on one day and call for your execution on the next. He knows what sin has done to us because he took it all on his body. He took the punishment for all our sins onto himself. So he knows what it's like to fear death because he faced it. But we know, like last Sunday, he got up because he was without sin. He got up because death had no hold on him. But he got up to show us that we can get up too because of what he did. And not only can we get up, he called us friends. So that means we have now access. See, my friends have access to me that other people don't. They know what kind of toilet paper I have. They know what kind of stuff in my refrigerator. They know what I smell like when I put on and when I don't put on. That's intimacy. That's what he brought back to us. Because of sin, there was a veil put between God and man. But when Christ died, that veil was rent in two, showing, come on in, come close. So that's what we get to do at any time. We don't just come before the Lord on Sunday. We can come anytime.
Amen.
In prayer. We can talk to him anytime, anywhere. I know you do because you've been in the grocery store and at the gas pumps and looking at TV. I know you have to talk to him. If you're not talking to him, how are you sane?
Right.
So we're going to the throne together as family, as friends, to talk to the one who has not only called us friends, but has also said we're family. And when we go to him, take it, whatever it is. The song said Jesus knows all about our struggles. So he knows. Whatever it is, take it to him. And get him give you the power to get over it, to move through it until we see him. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for another opportunity to be with each other in your presence together as family, as ones who have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice for us, that he gave himself for us so that we could be put right with you, Father. Let us every day, not just on one day and one month, a year, but every day be reminded of what it costs to get us this kind of access. While people are paying big money to have access to people who will not even remember their names, Father, we thank you because your word says our names are written on your forearms. That's how close we are to you. You know us. So even when we come acting like we don't know you sometimes, you still say, come, whosoever will, come. Come boldly to the throne of grace where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Lord, we need you. We need you to help keep us upright, walking through this world that we're living in, where you have commanded and called us to go and make disciples. Why? Because Jesus took care of all of our enemies. Jesus took care of all of the things that can come up against us. He said, go. Why? Because he's overcome. And so we're here to live out the life of overcomers, Lord. Because it's a lot of us that we all have stuff we need to get over and overcome. We all have stuff that has been shackled in our DNA because of Adam and Eve. And you have broken us free, but we need to shake it off. And that's only found in you. So we're coming today just to say thank you for making a way. Thank you for keeping the way. Thank you for keeping us in the way. But Lord, we're not just on this earth to add you to our program. We're trying to get on board with your program. Because your program is eternal. Your program is successful already. Because of the words Jesus echoed on the cross, it is finished. All the work is done. All we need to do is walk in it. So Lord, today we want to walk in the way. We want to be filled and led by your Holy Spirit. To do your will, to present ourselves before you as living sacrifices so that we can make an impact in a world that truly does not know you. Lord, you already told us about the rejections and all of the things that would come. So we don't have to be afraid of that because as we sang in the song, it may look like we're surrounded, but we're surrounded by the one who created everything. You're on our side, but more importantly, Lord, we're choosing today to be on your side. Yes. Lord, we want to be found faithful when you come. Not faithfully doing stuff and being religious, but faithfully following in the footsteps of the one who already walked it out. We thank you, Jesus, for walking that path before us. Lord, we pray today for your word. That we truly take what Dr. James said to be not only just hearing the word, but to do the word. We don't want to come and hear another sermon. We want to hear something that gets into our hearts and our minds and moves our body and our thoughts beyond what we see and walk by faith to do your will. So we pray for your servant, Lord, as he brings us the word today, that he brings it clearly, effectively, but most importantly, so that we don't see him, but we see you and we hear from you. Again, Lord, we know you are a comforter for those who are grieving. We know you are a healer for those who are sick. We know that you are a strong tower for those who need strength. So we ask, Lord, that they just reach out to you in those capacities because you're right here. Because there's no veil. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we ask all these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all can stand. He's worthy, but most than worthy, he's sure. If you're going to build a house, Jesus even said it, don't build your house on sand and stuff that shakes. Build your house on the rock, on his word. He's worthy.
All the praise we could ever bring.
name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say,
and you need help, turn to the one who's got you. He's the firm foundation. Amen.
Something else, right?
Yes.
So I think, and listening to that song, I know we can say that what's indisputable is that Jesus is worthy, right?
Yes.
But what about that part where it says that we live for him? Do we?
Yes.
Yeah. So Pastor O, and he's going to continue in his sermon series, continuing to work. Again, happy anniversary, church. And so, you know, he's going to give us some tools and tell us some stuff that's going to help us with that. He's asked me to read again a familiar text that he's been using since he's been talking about the work that we're doing here at Running for Christ and in celebration of our anniversary. So I'll be reading, once again, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, and then Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. It is written, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." All the believers, and now I'm reading chapter 4, verses 32 to 35, "all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. This is the word of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word." Yes, we are blessed. For 19 years, God has used and blessed this local assembly known as Runner for Christ Ministries here in the Downriver area of Michigan. These blessings will continue if we actually live the Word of God. By doing church the way it's been laid out in His Word, many of what we consider problems would be solved. And so as Pastor O comes, let's remember all we need to do to get there. In John 17, 21, Jesus prayed for us, saying he wants us to all be one, just as he and the Father are one. Jesus went on to reveal the secret to the success of being doers of the word, just what we read, as he went on to say to the Father that when we are in them, the world will believe God sent him. Always remember that who sends you on a mission is important. People, we are on orders from the Most High. Do you feel ready and energized to get going? All righty then. God has sent his servant to meet with us this morning. Let's be grateful for this ministry gift according to Jeremiah 3:15, which says, "I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding." Okay, our lead car, Pastor O, is already rolling. But let me say this. When that word lead car popped in my head, I looked it up and found out a few things. In a race, the lead car sets the pace. Check. Also, the lead car, by displacing the air in front of it, creates a vacuum between its rear end and the nose of the following car, actually pulling the second car along with it. Got it? Well, then let's roll with the lead God has placed before us. Repeat this after me. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Break it down for us.
Amen. Amen. I like that. That's straight out of NASCAR, right? Amen. The lead car creates a draft. And then the teammate will get behind that car in that draft. And right when they get toward the finish line, okay, the lead car move out of the way and the second car just swing on up there. Amen. That's okay. Y'all not none of that, right? I'm wearing my mask a little bit wrong. You know? You know my mask is a hanger on? Praise the Lord. I just hate a hanger on, you know what I'm saying? Amen. Praise the Lord. That was a good one, wasn't it? Lord God, Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that has gone before this time. And we thank you for the praise team. We thank you for the Sunday school. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all, again, that has gone forth before this time. Now, Lord, we need the word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you give us this word. Help us to remember it, understand it, so we can regurgitate it to whoever needs to hear it. You said it like this, that we should always be ready to give an account of the hope that's in us through Christ Jesus. So, Lord, let us keep what we get. In Jesus' name, we say it, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because if we don't get what we keep, amen?
Amen.
Is it working?
Yeah.
Oh, a little bit.
A little bit.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Testing, might have turned it up a little bit.
Four.
Amen. But anyway, if we don't get to keep what we get, then that would like make us knuckleheads, and that would be terrible. Amen. Y'all don't watch TV at all, do you? You saw that, right, with Charles Barkley?
Yeah.
And my man come out, you don't want to look like a knucklehead. You know, when I heard that, Jesus was like, oh, here we go. Amen. Well, before I end up looking like a knucklehead, let me go ahead on and preach, because that would be terrible, right? Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today. And bless my heart. So it receives your word today, because I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts, not like yours, but I am here to be transformed, to have my mind renewed, to change the way I think, so I can always know what your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life is. In Jesus' name. Amen. If we would just do that, amen. If we would say, Lord, you own this body. Whatever you tell this body to do, that's what it's going to do. Lord, you own this mouth. Whatever you tell this, right. Whatever you tell this mouth to say, that's what it's going to say. Lord, you own these hands. Whatever you decide to do with these hands, that's what they're going to do. Amen. If we could just get there and live our lives like that. See, I think we want to have life right now and life later. But Jesus is asking us to make a sacrifice, y'all. Sacrifice this now. Because I'm giving you eternity. Do y'all know we're getting a new heaven and a new earth? Earth won't be tore up no more. Do y'all know that? A brand new heaven, a new earth. And if we got cedar points now and we think that stuff is fun, imagine getting on the ride and you don't even have to have no brace on. You ain't even fall out. And if you fall out, you bounce right up and say, that didn't hurt. Amen. I'm saved now. I'm in. I'm all the way in now. That's what God got us, got waiting on. Old folks said it like this, I'm waiting on that great getting up morning when we get up in heaven. Amen. However it happens, if Jesus come rapture the whole church or we get that personal rapture.
Yeah.
Amen. When we get there, it all begins. Started here, but then eternal life. Amen. And all the promises of God that's guaranteed. How do we know that we're going to inherit all these things the Lord has said? Because he has given us his Holy Spirit. And if we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we belong to God. Amen. And that's our guarantee, because we're sealed. That means God's going to make it happen. It can't fail. So we get there. You know what that means, Alana? That means whatever you go through from right now to the end of this life, you're going to win. You can't lose. God got this thing set up. What'd you say, June? Came in here singing, it's a fixed fight. And we already won. Amen. That song is by a guy named Jabari something. His last name ain't something, I just forgot. Amen. It's a fixed fight. And we already won. And we need to know that. So when we wake up and arthritis is going crazy, it's a fixed fight. And we already won. We need to know that. Amen. Wake up, got a whole stack of bills, Kim. Ain't got no money. It's fixed fight. And we already won. Cliff is a wrap. Amen. Ed Johnson's, it's a wrap. We already won. And if we can hold on to that as we go through our days, amen, we'll be a lot better off. The Lord need us to shine. Amen. I ain't going to even preach that. I'm going to preach this. You know, I was listening to Elder Joseph Stevens preach yesterday, and then Jesus started talking. I say, Jesus, the man preaching, why are you talking? He said, that's why I want you to preach tomorrow. I'm like, no, you already got a sermon. As you can see, that didn't work, did it? Yeah. Amen. So today, I want to talk to you about something that you probably never heard a lot about. It's in the Bible. But how many sermons, raise your hand, how many sermons have you heard preached? Now, I'm not talking about he got up, then he get up. He died. I ain't talking about that. How many sermons have you heard preached about those 40 days after he got up? How many people can say Jesus appeared 12 times, 6 times to his disciples before he ascended? A total of 12 times if you count the appearances in the book of Acts. Amen? How many of us know those 12 times that Jesus appeared after he rose from the dead? We don't hear a lot. You would think that we talk a lot about that. You'd think that we'd find to comb that stuff, cat, and get every little bit out of there that we could get, because that is what we need to convince people he got up. Y'all heard Pastor Janice Tate up here last week talking about he was seen above how many people? 500 people. And that happened around AD 55 when that book, 1 Corinthians, was being written. That's what Paul said that in chapter 15. 500 witnesses, and Paul said in AD 55, some of them had fallen asleep, but a lot of them were still alive. Eyewitnesses to the resurrection. So today, we're going to talk about those last 40 days of Jesus, that thing that we never really hear about. I don't know how we jump from the Gospels all the way to the book of Acts. Amen. I wouldn't have paid attention to it until the Lord told me to write about it. And then, Alex, I started to have to do research. And so I hooked up with a man named Ray Downing. He's a PhD computer imaging scientist. Now, he was working with the Shroud of Turin. And they were trying to put together an image of what Christ would look like after he rose from the dead. And they used the shroud to image him out, so what he may have looked like. We even went as far to show what his walk was like, what his gait was like as he walked along. Okay? I wasn't really interested in that. But what caught me was the title. You know what they titled it, Nicole? The Lost 40 Days of Jesus. Not the last 40 days, but the lost. And I challenged the title. I said, what do you mean lost? Them days are not lost. Jesus said, when the last time you heard a sermon on any of them days? Mary, I said, whoa. I took a step back. Amen. And I said, Lord, I don't know. So Jesus started me to study in it. He said, I want you to give a special section in your book to just those last days. Okay. They got a special section. They come in section 3, but they're in their own section, the last 40 days, the last 6 appearances of Jesus to his disciples. Amen. They have walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. Amen. every single day, day in and day out, they're with Jesus. They have families they've left behind. They've got friends they left behind. They've got businesses they've left behind to follow Jesus. How much have we left to follow Jesus? Amen. What is it that keeps us from following Jesus to Bible class? Because see, when Jesus broke up the Bible class, started up a Bible class, Janice, guess what? They sat down. The Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, Jesus went onto a mountain, sat down, and did what? Began to teach them. So they were always ready for Bible class. Whenever Jesus started teaching, they would sit down. And guess what they did after Bible class? You know what they said, Mom? Jesus, you're an awesome teacher, but we didn't get it. Jesus said, are you yet so dull? But anyway, amen, he didn't receive that blame on him. He put that back on them. That's your mind. I got one. That's your mind messed up like that. Amen. But he began to teach them. Amen. That's one of the first things that the folks did who joined the church, right? They continued in the apostles' what? Teaching. If you don't get into that teaching, Jesus, I'm not trying to be mean. Alicia, I am not being mean. But if you don't get into that teaching, ain't much the Lord can do with you. Why? Because our adversary is who? The devil. And he don't play. Ask the seven sons of Sceva, do he play? He don't play. Amen. Amen. So, Jesus has spent 3.5 years with these guys, gals, girls, women. Amen. And now he's about to leave. Right? But before he leaves, over in Acts chapter 1, I believe it starts out with Luke talking to his friend Theophilus and saying that Jesus gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Amen? He offered up evidence to prove to them because he met with them. And the Bible says, Tamika, that some doubted. They knew he died until the earth rocked and reeled like a drunken man. They knew he died until the sun refused to shine, Carmen. They knew all of that. But now here he is risen. And some doubted. Amen. How do you doubt somebody who died? You know they died. John witnessed the death. The women witnessed the death. So he died. Joseph of Arimathea with his boy Nicodemus, they went and got the body from Pilate and put it in his borrowed tomb. They call it borrowed because Jesus only needed for a minute. It's like somebody asked to use your car. They don't want to own it. They just want to use it for a minute. Although some folks get funny. Amen. You loan them your tools and you have to go to their house and say, can I use my tools? Amen. You loan them your books and say, hey, can I read that book? And they say, yeah, but bring it back. That's my book. Amen. Amen. So let's talk about those six visits. The first one was your girl, Mary Magdalene. Amen. If you have my first book, go to page 275, start reading from there to the end, and you can get all of this, the whole story. Amen. But Mary Magdalene is the first one to see and hear the risen Savior. Her, along with some of the other women, were headed to the tomb because Friday, it was 3:00. And they had to rush Jesus to the tomb because the Sabbath began at 6:00. The Bible says that the Sabbath began to dawn, or the dawning of the Sabbath. That means it's about 3:00. That means it's about 3 hours before all the shops going to close and everything's going to shut down. And so Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had to get that job done quick. So they didn't have time to treat the body the way it should have been treated before burial. So the women were going to the tomb early in the morning to finish the job. But when they got there, the stone, that massive stone, was rolled away. That stone that was set on a high place, and then they had scooped out the ground, so when they pushed it a little bit, it would roll into place, and trying to get it out of that place would be next to impossible. They probably didn't have the knowledge or the wherewithal to even do that. And so the women said, "Who will roll away the stone for us?" But when they got there, guess what? An angel had already pushed the stone. I love how the Lord just show up. The angel didn't just roll the stone away, but he sat on top of it. Amen. And the only reason he stayed there was to let these women know, the Jesus you're looking for who was crucified the other day, he ain't here. Take a look inside. He ain't here. Ain't nothing but the grave clothes they wrapped him up in. You can have him if you want him, but he ain't here. He's risen. Okay? So the women, they take off. They go back to tell the men, June, that Jesus is risen. But they look at him like they're crazy. But Peter and John, they decide to go and see if what the women had said about an empty tomb. They don't believe in a risen Jesus yet. But they're going to see if this woman's report is all right. See, because women didn't have much say back then. They didn't let the women say nothing. They didn't let them. They had, like Dr. Tony Evans taught, if you're not using your wife or allowing your wife to be involved in what you're doing in your family, or if you're not allowing the women in your church to do anything, then you are a bunch of helpless men. Because God made a woman for what? To be a helpmeet to a man. So that he could do what God called him to do. So if any church that don't allow women to do what God called them to do, guess what? You got a helpless church. And pretty soon it'll just empty out. I was talking with a couple of preachers the other day. They want to stop their churches from emptying out. But they don't believe in women preachers or deacons. June, stand up and read about these women deacons, right? Some people don't get it. Read Romans chapter 16, verse 1. So we can settle this thing. The word of God is the end all, right? So we're going to hear from Romans chapter 1 about the women. 16 and 1.
I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church in Caesarea.
Okay. Amen. Now, in some versions, it says servant. But if you look at 1 Timothy, it talks about the same thing. That word servant translates to deacon. We call them deaconess because they're women. We just put that on there. But early on in the church, there was a great diversity in the church. Women were just as important as the men. How many of y'all remember Lydia over there in chapter 16 in the book of Acts? Paul and them were headed down to the river and met up with Lydia and them down there. Now, Lydia was a seller of purple. She's a Greek woman. How do I know? Because she owns property in Philippi, and she has a company and property in Thyatira. She rich. She houses Paul and his whole entourage. She says to Paul after they met and he told her about Jesus, "Well, if you found me worthy, then come to my house and stay there. You and all your boys come with you. All those traveling with you, Dr. Luke and all the rest of them." Amen. So early on, now in this church, we read in the book of Acts that they met in chapter 2 where June read, they met from where? House to house. Church houses. And in that culture, women ran the house. So it was natural for men to not be offended that this woman is the pastor of this house church. I think it was Narcissus or somewhere, and two Tryphena or Tryphosa. They had a house in their church. Priscilla and Aquila, they had a house in their church. Amen. And it would stay that way up until the 300s when Catholicism took over, and then Roman Catholicism took over, and Rome does not allow women to be in positions of authority, so they demoted them in the church as well as in the culture. Amen. But these women went to the tomb to finish the job that started on Friday and found out that Jesus wasn't there, told Peter and them. They ran to see what they were saying was true. And when they got there, Peter, impetuous Peter, he went straight in. But John got to the door and stopped. He was more deliberative than Peter and looked in. And they both saw what the women said was true. He's risen. But apparently they must have thought somebody stole his body. Why? Because they didn't believe the women. They talked to them like what they were saying was nonsense. So all of them are still in unbelief, even though there's an empty tomb. So Mary, okay, after Peter and John leave, decides to hang around. Amen. She sees what she thinks is a gardener. And she says to the gardener, "They have taken away my Lord. If you tell me where they put him, I will go and get him." And Jesus had said to her, "Who are you looking for?" And that's when she told him that. And then Jesus says, "Mary, isn't it awesome that when Jesus calls your name, you know it?" Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Isn't it awesome when Jesus speaks to you, you know it? You know his voice between every other voice. And when Jesus said, "Mary," she said, "Rabboni, Savior." Imagine this. Mary saw Jesus on the cross. Only because of the sign over his head, she recognized him, the King of the Jews. Right? She saw him taken down. She saw him wrapped up. She saw him buried. Because if you read the account, they followed all the way to the tomb to see where he was laid. The men weren't nowhere around. Pretty much like church is today. You have a few men that God has selected who will listen to him and who will actually be real men. Amen. But most churches are filled up with women. No men were there. But Mary was. And the other women were. So Mary is the first one to see the risen Christ. The first one to hear the voice of Jesus. And he tells her, "Take this message from me. And go tell the disciples that I'm risen." They still didn't believe her. They still didn't believe her. Now, at some point, Jesus has also revealed himself to Peter. Because in the second appearance to the men on the road to Emmaus, we find that statement there that, "And the Lord has showed himself to Peter also." But this was used to build up or on top of Mary. Why? Because nobody will believe her. Why? Because she's a woman. Now, in the second appearance, you know, you find that Jesus got jokes in the first appearance because he was there, and for some reason, Mary couldn't recognize him. When Jesus lifted his head and turned around, she didn't recognize him until he spoke. Amen. Are you not familiar with God's word that when you hear it, you know it? Amen. Or are you, like my pastor used to do these tests in church. He called it kitchen talk. He said, where does the Bible say the Bible's so clear a fool can't err? And we would go home, and all week, Elitris, we looking for this verse. I'm saying we because I was looking too. And then I found out it wasn't in there. I'm I'm like, well, why are they saying that? Old folks had theology that they were explaining in ways like that. The Bible is so clear that even a fool can't hear. I should have known because I was raised on the King James Version, and that wasn't even King James English. Amen? But because of the, I had heard it so much, and we've heard it so much, we assumed it was in the Bible. But Mary knew the voice of Jesus. Amen? Now we got these two men. They was in Jerusalem, but because Jesus done got whacked, and they haven't seen him get up, they headed back to Emmaus. I think that's about 7 miles, 9 miles away from Jerusalem. And while they're walking along the road, out of nowhere, this man pops up. And they begin to walk together. And Jesus says to them, what's up? What's happening? And they was like, dude, where you come from? Under a rock? Don't you know what's happening? Jesus was crucified, and we had hoped. We believed that he was the one that should come. But when the Romans got him and slaughtered him, well, now we walking home sad because he's dead and he ain't come back. Now, some women said he rose, but they crazy. They crazy. Lisa, they crazy. They don't make no sense. Can't listen to them. So we walking home dejected. We walking home sad. And so Jesus begins to speak with them, and he begins to rehearse to them how Christ should come and how Christ should suffer. And now guess what? They had about a 7 mile walk. My wife and I walked around Mackinac Island. That's 9 miles. Took us 4 hours. We will never do it again. There was 50 times, Mary, that we wish we had never done it. That's because one minute it was on this side of the island. We got winter coats on, Janice. On this side of the island, my coat is tied around me and I got a stick looking like Moses. And Sheila with her little feet walking like little students just going on. I'm like, Lord, have mercy on us. Amen. But we made it. We got on the boat, went back to the city, got in the bed. Praise the Lord. Amen. So they had some hours to walk with Jesus. How many hours of a day have you spent with Jesus? You know, they walked with Jesus and he talked with them. And he explained to them how the Christ should come and the Christ should suffer, be crucified by the Gentiles and then raised up on the third day. Jesus told them how slow you are to believe. Amen. And so he spoke with them and kept talking with them. And then they get to the house. Jesus got jokes. Nicole, he acted like he was going to keep on going, like, you know. But he knew all the time that he was going to stop at their house and eat with them. So they say to him, it's getting dark out here, Jesus. It's about 6 o'clock. You need to come on in. Because you know how it is in these hills. You don't want to be the man who fell among thieves headed up to Jerusalem. Because they used to gang people. The reason they had those caravansaries or what they call an inn was to put you inside a wall, because there was just crooks and criminals all over the place waiting for a brother to be slipping that night. One in the daytime, they run up on you, Cliff, take everything you got. They'll leave you like that man on the road to Jericho. You'll be left bleeding, left for dead. So you had to get somewhere. So they wanted Jesus. Look, Jesus, you need to come on in the house with. They really don't even know he's Jesus. They've been walking with him. How many people walking with Jesus don't even know who he is? Walking and talking with Jesus and don't even know it. And these were, get this, two of his disciples. Lord have mercy. Amen. They slept through every Bible class, every sermon. Amen. They just slept through it. Because here he is, or either Jesus had that thing the Romulans used on Star Trek, a cloaking device. Amen. He right up in your place, but he cloaked. I used to love it when the Romulans would just pop out of nowhere. And then Captain said, hey, go hit him. And they threw. Amen. I don't know why they popped out. I'd have shot you then popped out. But anyway, they didn't even recognize him. Amen. So what happened? They go into the house. They convince Jesus to come in the house. Amen. They convinced Jesus to come in the house. How many folks convinced Jesus to come in their house? Amen. I'm talking about this house. But you know when Jesus get in here, he going to see all your stuff, right? Amen. I think that's why some of us don't invite Jesus in our house. Because we got stuff in our house we don't want nobody to see. Amen. But I let Jesus into my whole house. You know why? Because he come in clean up. I'm like, so you... He come in and see all my mess and say, we need to clean that up. We. Amen. Don't the Bible say in Philippians 1:6, what Jesus doing? He who began a good work in us, cleaning us up, will continue cleaning us up until what? We get home. That's a guarantee we have for him. That means every day we can look forward to getting better than the next day. Every day we can get up from our mistakes. Every day we can get better. Every opportunity we can get better. So they're sitting down in the house, they're eating. And then Jesus, he just took the bread and he broke it. And all of a sudden, they realized him. They were familiar, apparently they were familiar with the way Jesus broke bread. I heard Pastor Barlow preach that one time. He preached that thing. They were so familiar with him, all of a sudden, they recognized him by breaking. Remember, Mary, what? The voice. Okay. These folks, I have it. And when they saw that, they recognized it was Jesus, and he disappeared. Amen. Now, guess what? They wanted Jesus to come into their house. Why? Because it was late outside. Well, guess what they did? They got their running shoes on. They put on their Nikes. Amen? And they just did it. They ran all the way back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples, guess what? We have seen the risen Savior. And that's when they told him, yeah, we know. Peter told us, and some of the women. I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean some of the women? Amen. So Peter tell you, it's okay. But when the women tell you, it sounds like nonsense. See how the devil do? The people who could have helped them to get past their anxiety about Jesus being gone, about thinking the Romans going to come and tear them up too. Okay, you see how that worked out? These women could have released them from that anxiety, from that fear, from that the problems they were having about Jesus being gone. And the Romans coming to get them and crucify them to put down this whole thing. So Peter is sitting. And so now they're rejoicing because these two men say, we saw Jesus. Amen. Now later on that evening, it's still Sunday. Remember? Later on that evening, Jesus shows up. Yeah. Jesus shows up himself. Carmen, he just popped up in the room. Sometimes I'd be sitting in my basement, and that's where I go to meet with the Lord. And Keila, sometimes I'd be seeing shadows. I'm like, Jesus, is that you? You know what I told him? Man, I told Jesus, do not pop up on me. I'm going to pop up where you at. Amen. Amen. Because he be popping up. Jesus like them old computers that have pop-ups. He be popping up. Popping up on people. You pop up on me like that, Jesus, and I'm going to die, and then we'll be like in heaven. You're going to have to raise me back up. Amen. No, Jesus, don't show up in my basement. Amen. I don't mind feeling like you near me. Amen. Oh, if I see Jesus, they got this song, when I see Jesus, I'll be like, well, I don't know, man. Amen. Because if I see Jesus, that means Mary, John 14 finna happen. I come back to receive you unto myself so you can be with me where I'm at. Amen. Amen. So on the third appearance, the 10 disciples and the women who already know he's risen, already seen him, already believed it, are in with these men who trying to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. They got some word from Peter. They got some word from these two other men and the women. And Jesus just pops up in the room. And he popped up and some doubted. I'm like, so he in here in the room, the only marks he have is identifying marks. All of that you saw in the Passion, completely healed. Skin smoothed out, like they put Jergens or Ponds on it. Cocoa butter, shea butter, all that stuff. He all hooked up now. He's smooth. Alicia's like, this would be a good time to go. Amen. Jesus is smooth now. He just have his nail prints in his wrist. Now, in the Greek, the wrist is a part of the hand. So they put the nails through here. So he's showing them, look, see the nail prints? I would pull off my sandals, let you look through my feet and see the prints in my feet. But it's me. And then to prove that it was really him and not a ghost, because then somebody was like, this is a ghost. This is the ghost of Jesus in there. Jesus said, give me some food. And then he ate some food. The only reason he ate the food was to prove to them, this is one of those many convincing proofs that he gave that he was alive. They still having trouble. And old Doubting Thomas, he wasn't in there. So after Jesus leave, they tell Thomas, we done all seen the Savior and the women. All of us now. Thomas, he is something else. Thomas is something else. Thomas like, well, check this out. I've been rolling with y'all for 3.5 years. I ain't know you till I knew you. All right? But I don't believe none of y'all. All the women. All y'all sound like you're nonsensical to me. And until I can touch and feel the nail prints and see what's happening with that side, I will not believe. Yeah. Oh, Lord have mercy. Notwithstanding that Jesus had told him, what, 3 times, I'm going to what, be crucified? And on the third day? And what they say? Unless I see him, not just see him, but unless I touch and feel, I will not believe. So Jesus heard that. He said, okay, I'm going to make you wait 7 more days till I show back up. So next Sunday, Thomas is there. And again, Jesus turned off the cloaking device. He in the room. Amen. I'm telling you, that really gets me. Especially when I get ready to do something crazy. I'd be like, see, you're going to pop up now when I'm doing something crazy, when I'm trying to be at some kind of way right, you're going to pop up. But you're trying to pop up now. So Jesus pops up in the room. How do you think Thomas feel? Wow. After knowing what he said. Now watch what Jesus said to Thomas. This is how we know that Jesus knows. Jesus wasn't in the room physically with them, was he? When Thomas said that, he was gone. But Jesus says, come here, Thomas. See the nail prints and thrust your hand into my side and see that I am the Christ. But you know what he told? Now, Thomas declared him, my God and my Lord. Amen. You all that and some, right? And Jesus told him, you believe because of touchy-feely. Amen. But blessed are those who believe in me and have not seen me. And that's us. This is now 4 appearances of Jesus, the 5th appearance. They're back fishing now. They're back in Galilee. Amen. And Jesus is not with them day in and day out. At least he's not physically with them day in and day out. But he's with them. Because every time they go somewhere, Mary, guess what? Jesus pop up. Amen. So they're out fishing. They done fished all night. They ain't caught nothing. They had traveled with Jesus cat for 3.5 years. He was paying all the bills. He was taking care of the family back home. He was providing their meals. But now he's risen. He's popping in and popping out. They don't know what to think. So Peter says, I'm going fishing. And some of the others said, I'm going with you. Why? Because they need money to get them bills. They got to kick that fishing business back up. They don't know what's happening from here. But Jesus pops up on the shore. Because they done fished all night. You ever try something a real long time without Jesus and then it ain't even work out at all? And then you include Jesus and it work out big time?
Yeah.
Amen. So Jesus tells them, have you caught any fish? He said, have you caught any fish? They said, no, we ain't caught nothing but air. Amen. So Jesus tells them, take your nets and throw them out and bring in a draught, right? And so they take the net and throw it in the water, and all of a sudden they cannot pull it up out the water.
Yeah.
They caught exactly 153 fish.
Yeah.
This is enough, by the way, to get them to sail and get caught up on their bills.
Yeah.
Jesus gave them a lump sum. Amen. He gave them a stimulus check. Amen. He stimulated them. All of them. So they caught the fish. And they dragged them to shore. And John, who leaned on Jesus' shoulder, he got a clue. Guess what he said, Vitrus? He said, it is the Lord. Why? Because of this miracle. He remembered the last miracle. When Jesus borrowed their boat to preach a sermon, he said, cast out into the deep. And they took a mess. They took in more than they could account for, and they had to call their friends to help them get them off. That's how it happened when you do what Jesus said. You get more than, my wife and I love to give, right? She loves to give way more than me, but we love to give, right? She's a giver, I'm a give. Amen, I ain't got the ER yet. Amen, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Jesus told them to bring what they had to shore, and I gotta run this real quick, because I had to get out of here. He said, bring it to shore, and they did, okay? And Jesus already got, Mackie, he got a fish hookup going already, fish fries already on. He already, Jesus got coals out there, he got fish on the coals, and then he tell them, bring some of the fish y'all caught. We're going to eat some of them too. We're going to have us a fish fry. And now they're beginning to know that even though Jesus is not with us visibly, physically, he's still looking out for us. He still knows right where we are. He still knows right what we're going through. And he will show up and bless us right on time.
Yes.
All we have to do,
yes,
amen, is receive him.
Yes.
Amen. So they caught 153 fish. And now we come to the last, because I had to get out of here. We come to the last appearance of Jesus to his disciples on this side of life. Before he ascended, after this time, he's ascended into heaven. Amen. Jesus had told them to not leave Jerusalem, but go to the mountain that I showed you. And now on many different occasions, the Bible says, on many different occasions, he met with them to give them the proof they would need to believe. He knows all of us as earthlings are from Missouri. All of us is from the show me state. He knows that. We got to see. All of us got some Thomas. I ain't going to believe till I see it. Okay? He knows that. So he has shown himself to them 6 times that he is alive. And he is the same Jesus that was crucified but now risen. And so on his last visit, he speaks to them about staying in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father comes, which is the Holy Spirit, which will happen 10 days from this day. They don't know it yet, but Jesus is getting ready to leave. Amen? They don't know it. They don't have a clue, but Jesus is getting ready to leave, and they won't see him no more. They're going to have to walk the rest of this thing by faith. Now, Jesus shows up in the book of Acts to talk to Paul. He sends angels to rescue Peter and the other apostles when they get arrested. But he literally shows up and has conversations with Paul from heaven to earth. So Jesus, even though he is at the right hand of the Father, he can still talk to you down here on earth. And if he needs to, like he did in 1 Corinthians chapter 18 or 19, he can show up and tell you, like he did Paul, don't leave this city. You ain't going to die here. I got a lot of people here. You need to stay here. And Paul did. So this last appearance of Jesus, amen, he says to his disciples, now, After he had said some things to them, right? Here's their question, Keelan. After all they've experienced and been through, here's their question. Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That's where folks get, that's where old folks got this saying from. They so earthly minded, they ain't no heavenly good. They still wanted Jesus to build a kingdom on earth. Jesus told them a million times, in my Father's house, I'm going away to prepare a place for you that ain't here. I'm come back here to get you to take you there to be with me where I am.
Yeah.
So what do they say, Alan? Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel this time? Are we about to rise up and gank everybody else like they've been ganking us? We've been ganked by the Babylonians. We've been ganked by the Media Persians. We've been ganked by the Greeks. We've been ganked by these Romans we under right now. It's our time to rise up, Jesus, our time. Jesus is like, y'all just tutu. Check this out. You know what he told them, Carmen? After the Holy Spirit comes, the promise of the Father, which you heard me talk about, he's going to give you power. Power to be my witness. See, without me, you can't witness. Satan will chop your head off. Amen? But with me, ain't nothing he can do to you. Even if he do something to you, ain't nothing he can do to you. Absent from the body, what? Ain't nothing he can do to you but send you to Jesus. That's all. He can't send you to hell. He can't make you have a bad... He can't make you be a knucklehead and make everything terrible. Amen? Anyway, I'm out of here. Jesus says to them, you shall receive power after you receive the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth with the word. That's what we're supposed to be doing until he comes back, right? And then Jesus just ascended into heaven. He didn't ascend himself into heaven, but he was called up. Remember what he prayed in John chapter 17. Father, restore to me the glory I had with you, what, before the world was. Well, that glory is about to be restored. And Jesus is lifting up. And as he's going up into the heavens, their eyes are fastened on him just like ours would. But then a Shekinah glory cloud came under him, and they couldn't see him anymore. And they don't need to be so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Two angels popped up. They know how to pop up too. They popped up and said, hey, 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 hey. See that Jesus that's going into heaven? He coming back the same way. And y'all need to get busy doing what he's saying. That's our job, church. And that is why Running for Christ Ministries, as I go to my seat before sharing, cut my hair all the way off. Amen. That is why Running for Christ Ministries exists. Jesus raised up this church to make disciples. He is not into church members. Jesus needs disciples to serve him in these last days. Church people can't serve Jesus because they don't have no word in them. They don't have no faith in them. And the devil don't respond to tears. The devil don't respond to depression. The devil don't respond to sadness. The devil don't respond to, I'm just going to go back to sleep. He don't respond to none of that. If Jesus let him, he's going to have his day with you. But Running for Christ was raised up to create for the Lord some end time saints. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You heard him. This church is not existent so we can be entertained. Somebody got something that they want to do. Come on.
Pastor, Sister Sheila, I need you.
Thank you. I just wiped the sweat off my mask.
Okay.
Have her lights on. Because if she had her lights
on, she
sprayed.
Okay. We've been doing this for 18 years. 19 years. But I'm going to make it personal. I've been rolling with him for 17 years. For 17 years, I've seen, if everybody that I've seen over the 17 years were here, these pews would be full. But I've also seen people come and go, and come and go, and come and go. But the same thing that we got from him today, he's always been consistent. And I do know, I can remember a time when there was just a few people here. But the consistency from both of them on time and just doing what the Lord has called them to do. I've heard them talk about exhausting their pockets just for this. But the reality of it is that we've all benefited. If nothing else, we've all benefited from what they've done. They don't like what I'm saying right now. They're not doing it. They're not doing it for what I'm saying right now. But I know each and every one of us has benefited from what they do. So this is just a small treatment. I got to give it to you because you say you handle all your feelings. But on the same token, I could stand up here and talk for 20 minutes. But I'm not. Because I don't want Sharon coming after me. But the reality of it is this. They changed my life. They changed my life. And I know that they've changed the life of everybody else that's sitting here. The great part about it, though, is what they've given us. It only came from there. They've introduced us to the real word. I know you all been in other churches before, but we get the real thing.
Yeah.
So I thank you for that.
I just want to say thank you to every one of you. Running for Christ Ministries wouldn't be Running for Christ Ministries without you. And like I say, you all look like miracles to me. You look like the promise of Jesus to me, because when I was afraid to death to do this, as you've heard me say, he told me he would send people who could do what I couldn't do, or even wouldn't do. And that's you. And so you are, when I look at you, you are the people he has chosen to use in these last terrible days on this earth. And so when I see you, that's why I'm always glad to see you and look at you with great expectation, because I know there's greatness in you. And I know Jesus is going to bring it out. I came in this morning, heard Nicole up here teaching, and I was like, Lord, that is some of that greatness that you were talking about. The way she laid that lesson out and led the students long and got the students involved in what she was saying, that is the promise of the Lord. And when I see that, I cannot help but to thank God for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. She wants y'all to make sure you read that. Amen. Hallelujah. So thank you again, Running for Christ Ministries, and we're looking to however many more years Jesus gives us. Amen.
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 Just remember, I'm just, on my personal note, I'm so grateful, because to be a woman in ministry in this climate, it's good to be able to do what God has created each and every one of us to do. Don't forget to pray for one another. Pray for Crystal as she's recuperating. Keep Keela in your prayers, as well as Darius, of course. Mother Cheryl, Mother Persia, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn. Keep our mothers in prayer. Special prayer for those that are recuperating. Yeah, little Hunter was a little sick. Pray for the weather changes and all that's going on. Look, y'all, we unmasking and all this different stuff. Don't freak out. The pastor said, if you get sick, he either gonna heal you here or heal you there.
Amen.
So we just gotta live in this world. Pray for your purpose in this day as you're standing to your feet. This ministry is made to make disciples. Oh, by the way, I got notification the other day. Our girl Sylvia will be graduating from trade school next month. So again, as we give, we're impacting individuals who will impact their communities and their world. So continue to give. Our new girls have started. We do great things are happening because of the people of God. To make disciples, you gotta be a disciple. In other words, you gotta be one who follows and is taught by. So if you're following people that ain't following Jesus, you might be climbing up some Capitol walls and a few other things. Going to rallies, chasing after people who say they follow. But why do that when you can chase after the one who's all power? Follow the one who designed it all, who teaches it all.
If you love him, lift your hands and praise. If you love him, stand with us today. If you love him, lift your hands.
learning. They learning. Just standing here. Let's receive our benediction to him who loves us and has set us free from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominions forever and ever. All God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.